News of the Church and Comment. Temples dedicated in Mexico, United States. Four more temples were recently dedicated in North America. Two of these temples are in Mexico, where eight new temples have been dedicated in the last several months. Shortly before the last of these four new temples was dedicated, a historic announcement was made. On October 1st, the Boston, Massachusetts Temple would become the 100th operating temple of the church. Mérida, Yucatán, Mexico Temple. The Mérida, Yucatán, Mexico Temple was dedicated in four sessions on July 8th. President Thomas S. Monson, first counselor in the first presidency, presided over the dedication and offered the dedicatory prayer. "We dedicate every room and feature of this, thy house, dear Father," he said. "May we ever carry in our hearts a great sense of gratitude for its presence in this our land and city. May we make ourselves worthy to come to thy house, to engage in those holy ordinances which will here be administered. May we be tireless in our efforts to bring these blessings unto ourselves and unto our families, and then go forward, standing for those who have gone beyond in extending to them the sacred ordinances of thy divine gospel." Along with President Monson, Elder L. Tom Perry of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, and Elder Carl B. Pratt of the 70, President of the Mexico South Area, attended the dedications of the Mérida, Yucatán, and Veracruz, Mexico temples. Nearly 15,000 people attended the Mérida temple's open house on June 24th and June 26th through July 1st. Some 5,500 members attended the dedication. The temple will serve 9 stakes, 2 districts, and 3 unaffiliated branches. The first to be built in the Yucatán Peninsula, the Mérida Temple, has been long anticipated by local members. Domingo Renan Perez Maldonado, president of the Mérida Mexico Itzimna Stake, said he had been looking to this day since 1979, when he served as a translator during Elder David B. Haight's visit to the Yucatán Peninsula. "The apostle told us a temple would be built here someday," he said. "This temple will be a place of spiritual light for everybody." Veracruz, Mexico Temple. The Veracruz, Mexico Temple was dedicated on July 9th in 4 sessions. President Thomas S. Monson presided over the meetings. "Bless this great nation of Mexico. Bless the officers of the government, that they may be friendly to thy people. We pray that thy saints may prosper in this good land, that they may be released from the shackles of poverty, that they may go forward with faith, with a crown of righteousness upon their heads, to do thy will and build thy kingdom," said President Monson in the dedicatory prayer. The dedication was a moving event for Walter Butler, who traveled from Arizona to attend it. Brother Butler and his former missionary companion, the late BYU President Rex E. Lee, opened Veracruz for missionary work in 1955. Now, he grappled with emotions, trying to talk about a temple being dedicated in the port city where he once served. "I remember the work being so easy in Veracruz," said Brother Butler. "The area was beautiful. There were people with good hearts." More than 5,000 attended the dedication of the new temple, and some 10,000 guests visited the open house from June 26th through July 1st. For Melitón Lagunes, newly appointed president of the Veracruz Temple, taking young people through the halls of the sacred building was the highlight of the open house. "Many youth have walked through the celestial room and said of the temple, 'This is where I'm going to marry.'" "That's wonderful," he said. The Veracruz Temple will serve 9 stakes, 2 districts, and 2 unaffiliated branches. Baton Rouge, Louisiana Temple. The Baton Rouge, Louisiana Temple was dedicated in 4 sessions on July 16th by President Gordon B. Hinckley. "May this temple provide a shelter of peace from the noise and clamor of the world, a refuge in time of distress, a sanctuary where thy sons and daughters may come to commune with thee in sacred and solemn prayer," said President Hinckley in his dedicatory prayer. Elder Neil A. Maxwell of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles and Elder Monty J. Bruff of the 70, president of the North America Southeast Area, also participated in the dedication. The new temple, the first in Louisiana, stands on a bank of the Mississippi River in a picturesque area between the Baton Rouge Stake Center and a wetlands nature reserve. Some 4,600 members attended its dedication, and more than 18,500 visitors attended its July 1st and July 3rd through 8th open house. They included government, community, and religious leaders, numerous media representatives, neighbors, and patrons of the church's local family history centers. The Baton Rouge Temple will serve some 25,000 members in 9 stakes in Louisiana and Mississippi. Brittany Holm of the Walker Ward, Denham Springs, Louisiana stake, recalls annual temple trips from Baton Rouge to the Dallas, Texas temple, traveling by bus 8 hours each way. During the dedication, she looked forward to driving only 30 minutes the following day to do baptisms in the new temple. Oklahoma City, Oklahoma Temple. President James E. Faust dedicated the church's 95th operating temple, the Oklahoma City, Oklahoma Temple, in 4 sessions on July 30th. In the dedicatory prayer, President Faust said, "We pray for thy cause and kingdom, that it may grow ever stronger in this community. May all who have favored thy cause be blessed for that which they have done. May many continue to seek for knowledge concerning thy work until they have embraced thy restored gospel." Accompanying President Faust were Elder Joseph B. Worthlin of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles and Elder Rex D. Penninger of the 70, president of the North America Southwest Area. The temple's open house, held on July 15th and July 17th through 22nd, drew over 40,000 visitors. "Our guests were so pleased with the opportunity to see what the temple is all about," said guide Mary Newman, a member of the Cedar Valley Ward, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma stake. "There were lots of positive comments, and some people even went through more than once." Many of the nearly 9,000 members who attended the dedication shed tears of gratitude during the ceremonies. "It'll be so wonderful to be able to go to the temple frequently," says Sister Newman, who is now a temple worker in the Oklahoma Temple. In the past, members in the area traveled nearly 200 miles to the Dallas, Texas temple. The new temple will make ordinances much more accessible for 44,000 members in the temple district, which includes Oklahoma and parts of Texas, Kansas, Missouri, and Arkansas. Church members celebrate pioneer heritage. Throughout the world, members celebrated their pioneer heritage in July. Salt Lake City, Utah. In Salt Lake City, President Thomas S. Monson, first counselor in the first presidency, represented the church in the annual Days of 47 parade that honors the pioneers who entered the Salt Lake Valley on July 24, 1847. "Today is a day to honor all the pioneers for their courage and sacrifice, both those who arrived in this valley and those who perished before the journey's end," said President Monson, speaking at a luncheon following the parade. "This causes us to pause and ask ourselves the questions: would we have made it? Would we have been able to make the trek and endure the hardship and sacrifice? I think we would. Those tear-stained places across the trail to the west will not have been in vain if we do follow their example and become pioneers ourselves." Elsewhere in Salt Lake City, at This Is the Place Heritage Park, at the mouth of Emigration Canyon, Elder M. Russell Ballard of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles dedicated a new Joseph F. Smith Memorial Grove. Elder Ballard, a descendant of Joseph F. Smith, said the grove honors the boy pioneer, who grew to be the 6th president of the church, and his valiant mother, Mary Fielding Smith. The grove includes lilac bushes that descend from a bush from Hiram Smith's home in Kirtland, Ohio, oak trees that descend from acorns of trees that grew in Nauvoo 150 years ago, and a reconstructed Mary Fielding Smith cabin. In the dedicatory prayer, Elder Ballard asked that the grove be a place of peace and solace, where love will exude one to another, where people of all persuasions may feel comfortable to come and sit together and talk about things that are eternal, precious, and important for this life and the life to come. Snowflake, Arizona. In Snowflake, Arizona, President James E. Faust dedicated a monument to the pioneers of the town during their Pioneer Day celebration on July 21st. The town's population of approximately 4,500 swelled to nearly 25,000 for the event. The monument, sculpted by Justin Fairbanks, includes Elder Erastus Snow of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles, with companions Ira Hinckley, President Hinckley's grandfather, Jesse N. Smith, first stake president of northeastern Arizona, and the William Jordan Flake family. The town was named Snow Flake in honor of two of the town's founders depicted in the monument. In dedicating the monument, President Faust acknowledged the many great men and women who pioneered homesteads in the wilderness. He then commented, "Where we came from is not as important as what we are, but what we are often reflects where we came from." As we look into your faces and the faces of the children and young people, we see a people of believing blood. The messages of devotion and sacrifice are as valid today as when Snowflake was settled. President Faust also visited the site of the recently announced temple for Snowflake. Scandinavia. In July, Scandinavian Latter-day Saints did more than celebrate Pioneer Day. They also commemorated the 150th anniversary of the Church in Scandinavia. The first missionaries landed in Copenhagen Harbor to begin their labors on June 14, 1850. Their arrival signaled the beginning of an important era for the Church and the eventual conversion of thousands of Europeans who heeded the call of the Church to go to Utah and build Zion. Scandinavian members celebrated the anniversary with firesides, dances, reunions, and the unveiling of statues that honor the early emigrants. In Denmark, Elder Russell M. Nelson of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles was invited by the Danish Rebuild Association to be the principal American speaker at its annual 4th of July festivities. Danes have gathered since 1912 in the largest observance anywhere outside the United States of the American Independence Day. More than 15,000 attended this year in celebration of the great bonds of friendship that exist between Denmark and the United States. Elder Nelson presented to the people of Denmark a statue called The Family, which represents a Danish pioneer family preparing to make the journey to the Salt Lake Valley. The work, commissioned and financed by a private, non-profit foundation, Descendants and Friends of Denmark, was sculpted by Dennis Smith of Alpine, Utah. Brother Smith is of Danish ancestry, and his great-grandmother, Christine Beck, who immigrated to Utah as a 16-year-old girl, was the inspiration for the family statue. A second statue by Brother Smith, Christina, was unveiled in the Copenhagen Harbor area a few days later. In Iceland, church members and Lutherans participated together in a meeting on July 2nd that honored the country's conversion to Christianity 1,000 years ago. On July 4th, Iceland's first LDS chapel was dedicated in Reykjavik by Elder W. Rolf Kerr of the 70, president of the Europe North area. Additionally, descendants of Icelandic Latter-day Saints traveled from the United States to join church members in Iceland for the unveiling of a sculpture at Mormon Pond, where the first Icelandic converts were baptized in 1851. The sculpture, titled Messenger, is by Gary Price. On July 3rd, Iceland's president, Olafur Ragnar Grimsson opened a permanent exhibit at the Icelandic Emigration Center, which honors the 410 Icelandic converts who immigrated to Utah in the 1850s.
Members invited to submit music. To encourage new musical works, each year the General Music Committee of the Church invites members 18 and older to submit original works of church-oriented music. Music is considered in three categories. 1. General, which includes songs, children's songs, hymns, anthems, hymn arrangements, instrumental, and other works. 2. Hymn texts alone, or 3. Music for women's voices written by members of the Relief Society. Submitters are limited to one submission per category per year. This year's submissions should be postmarked by March 31, 2001, and mailed to Church Music Submission, 20th floor, 50 East North Temple Street, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84150-6070. Submissions will not be returned. For detailed submission guidelines, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the above address or send an email to bastiondr@ldschurch.org. Orlando, Florida, Increasing Zion's Borders, by Karen R. Merkley. We are living in a great time for the church in Florida, says James C. Watkins, president of the Lake Mary, Florida Stake. Opportunities abound to lengthen our stride and increase the borders of Zion. These opportunities have come about in part because of Florida's robust growth as a state. What was once largely a swampland dotted with orange groves, cattle ranches, and coastal resorts now ranks as the fourth most populous state in the nation. The Orlando area increased in population from 24,000 to 1.5 million in the past century. Many Latter-day Saints have moved to the Orlando area to make it their home, and the effects have been positive for the three stakes there. As Joel H. McKinnon, president of the Orlando, Florida Stake, observes, joining newly arrived members with the local saints who have a heritage of sacrifice and dedication provides a great recipe for strength and progress. That heritage of faith dates back some 100 years when fully organized missionary work took root in Florida. Missionaries proselyted first in the northern part of the state, then spread slowly into central and southern Florida. At one point, opposition to the work was so strong that missionaries in the Orlando area were removed for a time. But eventually membership grew, and the area's first stake was established in 1958. 36 years later, church members rejoiced as they reaped a great blessing of those early labors, the dedication of the Orlando Temple. Barbara Boyd of the Winter Park Ward, a Florida native who serves as an ordnance worker, recalls with gratitude her family's heritage. My grandmother, Lula Milton King, was the first in my family to accept the gospel in 1902 in Daytona Beach, she says. Sister Boyd herself became a member of the church in 1930 when she was 11. Even as the Orlando Saints draw strength from the past, they take steps to move the kingdom forward, drawing a new generation into the gospel. Two recent converts are Brandon Bishop of the Oviedo Ward and Margaret Granito of the Goldenrod Ward, both 17. Impressed by the example of a Latter-day Saint classmate, Brandon agreed to listen to the missionaries and was baptized. His example in turn impressed Margaret, who learned about the gospel and felt the Spirit's influence lift her out of sadness she had been experiencing. Being an influence for good in the community is an important priority for church leaders in Orlando. We need to stand up and be counted as a unique and leavening influence in our area, says President McKinnon. Members of the church need to extend themselves beyond the boundaries of their homes and families. We need to become part of the essential glue that holds this community together. One group of Orlando Saints extend themselves through music. For nearly a decade, the Central Florida Messiah Choir has observed the Christmas season by giving public performances of selections from Handel's Messiah. The participants see the concerts as their gift to the community. Such endeavors point to the great depth and character that President McKinnon sees in the Central Florida Saints. There is a salt of the earth heritage in our members that will bring the blessings of the Lord if we will continue to strive toward the goals of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Orlando Tri-State Area. Names of stakes: Orlando, Florida; Orlando, Florida South; Lake Mary, Florida. Number of members: 10,250. Number of units: 22 wards, 2 branches. Missionaries serving from area: 67. Temple District, Orlando, Florida Temple. Church Scripture Maps. Produced nearly a year ago for use with Latter-day Saint Scriptures, these maps are now available in large format for classroom use. The 21 large maps are 25 by 38 inches and can be acquired in a single package. Item number 66001, $27.50 U.S. money through church distribution centers. Designed to help teachers and students of the gospel, the maps feature Bible and church history locations. Appointments. The following 15 new temple presidents have been called to serve. Their spouses have been called as temple matrons: Henry Chesney, Peggy Bergman Chesney, Shawnee Ward, Norman, Oklahoma Stake, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma Temple, Harold De La Mare, Carolyn Hewish De La Mare, Lakewood Ward, Cypress, Texas Stake, Houston, Texas Temple, Lauren C. Dunn, Emeritus Member of the 70, Sharon Longdon Dunn, Mount Olympus 6th Ward, Salt Lake Mount Olympus Stake, Boston, Massachusetts Temple, Jack H. Goslin, Emeritus Member of the 70, Gwen Bradford Goslin, Murray 25th Ward, Murray, Utah Stake, Manti, Utah Temple, Heber Blaine Cap, Ardeth Green Cap, Canyon Park Ward, Bountiful, Utah Central Stake, Cardston, Alberta Temple, Neil C. Lewis, K. Reading Lewis, Darden Creek Ward, St. Louis, Missouri North Stake, St. Louis, Missouri Temple, Frank Martino, Betty G. Newman Martino, Denton First Ward, Denton, Texas Stake, Dallas, Texas Temple, Burl McClurg, Diane McClurg, Franklin Ward, Franklin, Tennessee Stake, Nashville, Tennessee Temple, Keith O'Grady, Avis Nagwaka O'Grady, Springvale Ward, Melbourne, Australia Stake, Melbourne, Australia Temple, John Peterson, Marcia Jorgensen Peterson, Thunder Mountain Ward, Mesa, Arizona Stake, Mesa, Arizona Temple, David Porch, Mary Bateman Porch, Glasgow Ward, Glasgow, Scotland Stake, Preston, England Temple, E. Allen Rich, Sandra Barrett Rich, Bird Springs Ward, Huntsville, Alabama Stake, Birmingham, Alabama Temple, Scott H. Taggart, Lucille Briggs Taggart, Kirkland First Ward, Kirkland, Washington Stake, Montreal, Quebec Temple, George Watson, Chloe Kilroy Watson, Naperville First Ward, Naperville, Illinois Stake, Chicago, Illinois Temple, Robert Wilmont, Barbara Foster Wilmont, Mount Barker Ward, Adelaide, Australia, Marion Stake, Adelaide, Australia Temple. Comment. Withholding judgment. I was sexually abused by the time I was 13 years old. Because of this, when I was in the Young Women program, I was not excited about the topic of marriage. I never felt understood by my leaders. I was interested in serving a mission, going to college, and starting a career, with marriage being something I would consider in my 30s. I remember feeling like the only reason that I went to church was because I knew that my Heavenly Father understood and loved me. I did not trust or know how to deal with men in leadership positions. It was not until my mission that, through the example of some wonderful elders, I came to learn to trust men in leadership. Others in my family deal with clinical depression and hide it very well, just as I hide some of the effects of my past experiences. But dealing with these burdens can bring on difficulties such as depression, with symptoms such as fatigue and feelings of hopelessness. These can make the normal responsibilities of work and family seem almost unmanageable. Handling additional responsibilities, such as church callings, sometimes can appear impossible. Having a spouse that is dealing with such a challenge can depress and exhaust a partner. My point in discussing these difficulties is to encourage people not to judge. Usually there is a reason behind attitudes and actions. Do not assume that because a person comes from a good Latter-day Saint family, there are no serious personal issues that might be a struggle. Encourage people that work with you in callings to do their best, but realize that what their best is between that person, the bishop, and Heavenly Father. Although having a testimony of the gospel is incredibly supportive for them when they are struggling with such issues, it still takes a lot of time and energy to deal with mental difficulties or the aftermath of abusive experiences. Name withheld. Longing to be a mother. I would like to thank you for publishing the article, I Long to Be a Mother, August 2000, with its accompanying segment, Being Sensitive to Couples Without Children. Words cannot express how well I relate to this article. I have waited so long for something to be written or said in the way of comfort towards those like me who haven't been able to have children. In publishing this article, you've acknowledged that there are many in the church who are going through this trial. I hope you will continue to publish similar articles to comfort those who struggle with infertility and to increase understanding and compassion in those who do not. Ruth B. Braga, West Jordan, Utah. LDS Perspective on Muhammad. Your article, A Latter-day Saint Perspective on Muhammad, August 2000, provided a refreshing viewpoint of another religion. I am blessed to work with people of different beliefs. Not only has it been insightful and rewarding to me, it has helped me to better understand others. Jennifer R. Decker, Bountiful, Utah. Taught by Special Witnesses. The Ensign is valuable all the time, but two recent articles particularly touch me. Elder Neil A. Maxwell's Insights from My Life, August 2000, and President James E. Faust's Finding the Abundant Life, July 2000. I have been taught by Special Witnesses. Thank you. Samuel R. Drinkwater, San Antonio, Texas. End of News of the Church and Comment.